At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Anna, have you ever had a neighbor leave you a nasty note before?
No, just nice notes. Why? What happened?
Well, I mean, it didn't happen just this past week or anything like that. But a friend was relaying to me that they had somebody leave a nasty note. And it reminded me of a time, to be fair, I was parking an extra car in front of my condo. You know what condo complexes, how parking is such a premium there?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a pain to fit all your vehicles. But I had two separate spaces for just my townhouse right in front of it. Nobody else could fit a car there. Now, the grass was a little bit worn down on one side, so I would park my three cars really tight in those two spaces. Nobody else was entitled to those spaces. They were numbered for my house.
Yeah, but now you've made it look terrible in your front yard because you've got three cars crammed into two and you're on the grass.
Well, I received a nasty letter from somebody in the neighborhood. Look at you. I mean, you would have been the neighbor who wrote it. You know, it basically lectured me on multiple things, like the fact that I needed to put some decorations on my front door.
Why?
As the seasons would change, apparently.
That you didn't have to do.
There's a festive neighbor here, and that I had to learn how to park in front of the house if I wanted to be able to get along in the neighborhood.
Well, I do think that saying that you've created an eyesore and taken down the property values by parking your car on the grass and squeezing three cars into two spots, there's a point. But you don't need to put the different wreaths on your door with every season. Like, to me, that's ridiculous. You don't have a point, you know, to say that.
I mean, you lived in a complex before. Were you the type that you had a problem with what your neighbors were doing? Did you leave notes or anything like that?
No, but you know me. I silently sulk inside and I'm angry and dead on the inside. But there were certainly things that they would do that would drive me absolutely insane.
I just found out my stepdad is the HOA president in the neighborhood now where I grew up.
Yeah.
And we used to rail against the people that were in charge before. But he was announcing it the other day how they're reopening the pool and that he's got to put the new playground in and blah, blah, blah. And then he's retiring from it because he's won so many times in a row.
Oh, my God. The HOA was always my enemy. For some reason, I don't know why, because I feel like I'm so kind of easygoing and easy to get along with when it comes to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But every battle I had to go against them, it was such a big deal. I wanted to put bushes behind my condo to give like a little bit of privacy. You would have thought that I was asking to never pay a monthly fee ever again.
Mm.
It was insane. They wouldn't approve it.
Well, you thought it was your world. Here's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
I'm going to tie a little bow on this for you, all right? Because you've never written that nasty letter before, and because you have these unresolved HOA issues, you write a letter for my stepdad. I'll put it on his door anonymously, and then he can just absorb that. It'll be one of his final acts as HOA press.
Deal.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
I like that we call it shedding our winter coat. Really, we're trying to lose some weight so that we can feel good about the clothes that we wear in the summertime when it gets really hot.
That's so much better than what I envisioned, which was kind of like a snake losing its skin.
Exactly. Amy Linus is from fitbodyvibe.com. She is our health expert. Amy, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I re-signed up for Weight Watchers. I'm counting all these points. I'm doing all the things that I usually do this time of year, trying to get rid of those 10 pounds before you go into like the shorts and the skirts and all that. But is there simple things that you can do in changing your everyday life that'll get you the result that you really want?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because most people think of a calorie in as a calorie out. That's not the case. So simple solution there, just increase your protein intake a little bit so that you're, you know, supporting those lean muscle mass that you have on your frame. And then eat carbs when you need them. Meaning if you're going to go sit behind a desk all day, don't load up on pasta and heavy carbohydrates. You're going to make you tired. But if you're going to be active and go outside and do a workout or go for a walk or something like that, then definitely have a little bit of protein and carbohydrates beforehand. Another thing you can do is just be more active on a daily basis. You know, now that it's getting nicer outside, now's the time to get outdoors and really work up a good sweat and, you know, get your body functioning the way it's supposed to.
My problem is, Amy, is like this time of year, I get busy. And when I'm busy, I tell myself that I deserve it. I can eat whatever I want to or ingest whatever's around me because that's what I need to do to get through the day.
It's like a weird psychological thing. It's like you're self-sabotaging, right?
Right.
It's true. It really is.
Whenever I make my bad decisions, Anna, I either do them as a reward or retribution. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
No, you're not alone. My friend Rita, we were having the same conversation yesterday because I was complaining, as usual, as I complained to her about, you know, the weight and all that and being back on a diet and how it just sucks. And, you know, it's like my whole life is a yo-yo and up and down. And then I get ahead and then I fall back. And we're having the whole conversation. And she says to me, why do you always think that this is like your punishment? Eating healthy is not a punishment. Eating healthy is good for you. Just because you can't have three slices of pizza tonight doesn't mean you should be complaining that you can't have three slices of pizza. But then I pointed out all our friends that can have three slices of pizza and they don't gain weight.
You know what? Nobody can tell you how to grieve. All right? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it. I like that. I like that. You know, even in talking to her, she's right. You can have three pieces, but you can do one and you can cut down and still, you know, achieve those results. Because, you know, if your body's used to having that three slices, cut it down to one, of course you're going to drop something. So that's another way, a good way of starting if it's too much for you to really just go cold turkey and jump on a program.
All right, so finding a way to be active every single day, I get that. Increasing the protein, limiting the carbs. What else can you do to just kind of shed those couple extra pounds without going all crazy and signing up for apps and stuff?
Yeah, so amp up your water intake because water is going to help your body filtrate everything the way it's supposed to on the inside. With a good filtration system, you're going to get rid of all the toxins that you need to get rid of and hold on to the things that you need to hang on to. Simple ways to amp up your routine.
I know they always say 8 glasses, but is that still the rule of thumb?
So what I tell my clients is if you know how much lean mass you have on your frame, drink your lean mass in ounces or half your body weight in ounces.
Half your body weight, because I don't know what my lean mass is. So half.
I mean, I have no idea what I am in ounces. I guess I'm going to need a calculator.
It's a lot more than 8 cups, I think. You want to check out Amy for yourself, you can head to fitbodyvibe.com.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Get it off your chest. Raven, if you've been lying about being in school for the last 3 years to scam my mom, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, I can't believe that it's only 3 years. Please prepare people for this story.
So, I know it's wacky. I know that this sounds absolutely insane, but back in 2008, my mom had left church and they had one of those tables set out outside with like all the like the young children around the world that need money donated to them every single month and then you sign up, right?
Right.
And she tells me the story like it was yesterday that Yanni, he was 3 years old and he had these big eyes. So she immediately walked over to the table and adopted Yanni. Now, through the years, every single month, she sends $35 to Yanni.
I mean, that adds up.
Right.
Especially given the fact that Yanni's in a place where economic hardship is a real thing.
Of course. So
the American dollar.
But he would write her letters every month. He would send pictures. And then she would constantly say to us things like, you know, you guys don't know how lucky you have it. You know your brother, poor Yanni. Yeah, you know
right.
What Yanni has to
That's
go
right.
through?
He was the brother. He was
He's
your brother.
Brother.
He was your adopted brother, right?
Right. He's from Guatemala, Yanni.
Right.
So she always would say, like, one day I'm going to make Yanni come here and he's going to, you know, and she had the whole plan and I was like, all right, Ma. And half the time, I didn't even believe he was real. Like, I thought it was like.
I mean, the first time you told me, what did I say? I was like, your mom is being, she's being stolen from.
But the pictures would come every Christmas, the whole thing. And like, and she would show us the pictures and she put it on the refrigerator and he was growing up and she was so proud of Yanni and like
yes.
The whole thing. Yesterday, I go to pick up my, she watches my daughters. And she go, I go to pick her up, pick the kids up. And she's kind of sad. I said, what's wrong? She goes, you're never going to believe it, Anna. I said, what happened? And she goes, I got a letter from Yanni. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what happened?
Right. What is the tragedy that has befallen our brother?
He doesn't want money from her anymore. So he said that he dropped out. So part of like the program that runs the whole thing is that you have to be in school to keep collecting the money every month.
Okay.
So now I guess he's 18 years old, 17, 18 years old. But he tells her in the letter that he had dropped out 3 years ago. And he had not reported that he had dropped out and he's not allowed to collect money from her anymore. And that basically he doesn't want correspondence with her anymore. My mom was so upset about it. I was like, Ma, can I please record you? Because this is hilarious. And she refused. She refused to let me record. She was like mad about it.
Oh.
And then I was like, well, what are you going to do? Because she has like a stack of all the pictures and everything and all that. And she's like, I'm just going to hold on in case he wants to come back.
Oh, no.
And then she won't adopt another child because she's so heartbroken by it.
Oh, no.
He basically flat out said, like, lady, stop sending me money. I don't want your $35 a month anymore.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, finally, he's found some depth to his soul. He's like, this lie has gone on for too long.
Well, I guess because he had dropped out of school, but I told her, I'm like, well, think about all, like, when you, he has like six brothers and sisters, like, you helped the whole family for all these years, but she was like inconsolable about it. She's like, how does he just say one day in a letter, I don't want to know you anymore? I'm like, Ma, you've never talked to the kid before in your life, but then I found him on Facebook, I think it's him, because I'm a crazy person,
yeah.
And I like looked up the name, and I think he's just playing video games because he just posts video games all the time. But I don't have the heart to tell my mom that she wasted all the money just for him to buy like video game systems.
It's better than what my theory was. I told you I thought he was 40.
That's true. So bye, Yanni, brother. I mean, this is crazy. What world record could you actually break in college? University of Tennessee junior Ben Joyce threw 105.5 mile per hour pitch over the weekend. It's the fastest pitch ever recorded in college baseball and the second fastest in all of baseball. Listen to him when he found out.
I actually didn't know until after. Jared Dickey was like, or right before the last thing, he was like, hey, maybe try to throw one a little harder. So, I mean, that was crazy to think about afterwards. I was trying not to think about it during, but it's pretty crazy to think about.
I mean, crazy. It's very crazy.
105 miles per hour.
Can you imagine getting hit with that ball?
I would not want to even. This is why I didn't play baseball when I got to high school, man, because it just gets too scary, frankly, when they start really bringing the heat. I mean, I don't know. I consider myself to be a pretty courageous guy. Nope. No, thank you.
I know. But think about it, you break that record in college.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Pretty,
you know?
Awesome. Yeah.
I was trying to think about it. I'm like, if I went back to my college years, mm-hmm. what could I break the world record for? But for me, that's an easy answer.
Okay.
Because when I was in college, it was the epitome of beer pong. It was still new. It was great.
You have bragged about your beer pong prowess before.
I'm not bragging, but I was the 2002 Pace University Greek Olympic beer pong champion.
Oh, sounds my gosh.
Yeah. I want Anna on my team.
Yeah. No. And here's the thing. I could hit that last cup like it was nothing. I could take that ball.
Yeah.
And this is, now they do it different. Now they don't actually put the beer in the glasses anymore because they want to be sanitary.
Right.
But back in 2002, we used to put the beer right in there.
Yep.
The beer, like the balls would fall on the floor. They'd be covered in hair and dirt.
Disgusting.
We would throw it right in the beer and then we'd drink it because we were brave.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, we were heroes.
That's why your immune system was so strong too, I'm guessing.
So if there was a world record for hitting that last cup every single time, I've got magic fingers. I think that would probably be my thing.
Yeah. I could have been an engineer based on the amount of, you know, like pyramids and different like house designs we would make out of Natty Light cans.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we could get that sucker taller than the television.
Did you have them up on the shelf? You had like the whole like arrangement up there?
To display?
Yeah.
No, I didn't go with the collecting or whatnot. It was just like one night, one weekend kind of thing. And then sooner or later, you would have to get it out of there.
It's a lot of hard work that no one's ever going to see. Really.
No, you're right. You're right. Because cell phone cameras weren't really a thing at that point either, so it's like I really have no witnesses to that.
That's true. Producer Sean, if you could break one world record when you were in college, what would it be?
Time spent sleeping in class.
Wow.
I was so good at it. I found so many ways around. I remember one time I actually printed out a picture of somebody, cut the eyes out, and taped them to my glasses.
Wow.
Come on.
Just so it would look like I was awake in class, but I was actually sleeping.
That's money well spent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we wonder why we're all sitting in this room together.
College education, right.
John, how about you?
I would easily have the world record in the most parties ruined with an acoustic guitar.
Oh, God. He's that guy. Yep. He's that guy.
Especially if the party was at my house, man. My whole band lived together. If you wanted to hear some fun, upbeat music at the end of the night, too bad.
No. Nope.
If you wanted to hear some Wonderwall, some Semi-Charmed Life, any Dave Matthews song, come down to Walnut Street. The party is bumping.
Don't bring it to one of my barbecues, man. It could end up in the fire. Don't.
What's your prama or your kid's prama? Or what's prama? It's a prom drama. We just coined that word. Actually, I'm not sure if we coined it, but prama. 1-800-330-9999. My friend's daughter's boyfriend just dumped her 2 weeks before prom.
Oh, that sucks.
They've been dating for 2 years.
Oh, that's mean.
He wants to take somebody else to prom.
But like but isn't that the most messed up thing you ever heard?
Yeah.
And it's the whole, well, we're going to different colleges. Like, we know, we need to go our separate ways. 2 weeks before prom, you gotta do that?
That's a summer breakup. You break up with a girl if you're worried about that over the summer. Not before the prom.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, again, that means he's got another date waiting in the wings right there. That's what's, I mean, she's got to prepare herself mentally for the fact that when she's at prom, she's probably going to see him there.
Oh, gosh. My heart breaks for her. I feel so terrible. Like, I remember all the the prama about getting the prom date, like who you're going to go with, or then you felt funny if you didn't go with anybody. I feel like it's more widely accepted to go on your own or with your friends now.
You think?
I don't know. Back then, it certainly was not. You had to have like a date or you didn't go.
I mean, I'm out of my mind thinking about who's he going to bring to this thing. Because like I remember in Greece when somebody broke up with somebody, I'm pretty sure they brought like a 45-year-old to the prom.
I thought you meant the country at first.
No. No. I don't know what prom's like in Greece, the country. I'm not sure.
Most of Raven's references are movies from the 80s. That's usually how it works.
Well, Greece is a little bit older than that, I think, even.
Good. Producer John, what happened at your prom?
We got stranded at our prom. We had no way. We got there. We just had no way to get back. So this is what happened. We had our prom out of state. We lived right on the border, so it was a short trip. And we got those Hummer limos. You remember the limos?
Yes, when they came out.
It was 2005.
Right.
So we got the Hummer limos and we go there and there's a little bit of a murmur going around as we're driving, like, oh, I don't think these are allowed in that state. I don't know if we're going to be able to get like across or back state lines, but
they weren't allowing Hummers.
Huh? Well, just
the Hummer limo.
No, specifically the EU? Hummer What's limo, happening here?
Specifically the Hummer limo.
Okay.
I don't know how big those things were. Those were like 10 tanks in a row.
Exactly. I mean, they were big. Sure.
Exactly. So we're 17. We don't really care.
Right.
We're going
to
just let the adults
worry
about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we get to the prom. We have a great time. We leave, and then we're all standing out there waiting for them to come back. And slowly, all of our friends are leaving. They're getting in their limos. All of us, group of like 20 kids, we're just like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, church vans roll up. Thankfully, the person whose mom organized this is very active in her local church.
Good.
And so, you know, we were saved. You know,
in both senses of the word.
In all senses of the word.
I like to envision it like the office, right? They kept getting in that Korean church van.
So you've got 20, 17, 18-year-olds who just want to party and do all the terrible things that 17 and 18-year-olds want to do. We're all nicely filing into church vans with our little dates and everyone's holding hands.
I wonder how Father Joseph felt about driving the church van to pick up the rowdy high school kids.
Mother Superior was not amused.
Oh, my gosh. Our limo got into a car accident on the way to prom.
Ooh.
It got hit from behind. Yeah, and it was funny because we were like, now what? And then we were back on the road within like 5 minutes. I guess they figured it out.
Yeah. Here's my insurance information. Break.
Right.
Bye.
Tis the season. Prama. Prom drama. 1-800-330-9999. What was your prama or your kid's prama? One of my friends, her daughter, dating the same kid for 2 years, broke up with her. It's 2 weeks before the senior prom.
I feel like any life events like this, you know what I mean, where there's a focus and there's a lot of emotion and anxiety that goes into it, there's always going to be drama around it.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What was your prama?
I actually went to school with Anna, and at our senior prom, I had to go on a date with somebody as like a mercy date.
Mm-hmm.
Because another of our friends wasn't going to have a date. Well, my friend, I went to go pick him up. He was completely drunk. My mother freaked out, but we were able to get him to the prom.
Good.
Wait a minute.
He got arrested for hitting an undercover cop.
Wait, I don't remember.
Spent the night in jail.
Wait, who?
And then the friend that I went with attacked me in the middle of the hallway because I ruined her prom.
Wait a minute. Who is this? I need to know who this is.
Right. If you went to school with Anna, where was she?
It's Joanne.
Joanne, how come I don't remember this? Who was the guy? I'll beep out the name.
Because Tammy needed to go have a date. So I went with his friend. And then I ended up with Rock.
Did you ever get drafted for a prom?
Yes.
I got drafted for a prom a couple times.
Yeah, so I had to go with my friends that needed somebody to go with and things like that. One guy, his name will remain, I'm not going to say his name. It was Chris. But I remember going to his prom and I had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like I just went like as a friend with him and he did not think that we were just going as friends and it was awkward.
A similar situation. I was drafted by my friend's older sister to go with her friend to her prom when I was like a sophomore and I was like, what? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend going into it, not after.
I'm sure.
Hey, Ann Raven, what's your prama?
This happened years ago, but my daughter won prom princess at school. And then a few days later, I got a call from the principal telling me that it was a mistake and that she didn't actually win.
I mean, what are you supposed to do? Revoke it at that point?
Can you imagine?
Like, what do you say to your kid?
Oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, I would be like, you know what? It looks like you're going to have two prom princesses then.
I mean,
whatever mistake you made, you're going to have to rectify. I mean, I honestly I think I would lose my mind if they called and did that to my kid.
But what did they expect you to do at that point? Give back the $7 sash? Like, it doesn't make sense. Let it be a secret that you take to your grave that there was a mistake.
How humiliating.
It's Hannah and Raven. What happened at your team's prom?
My son. Unfortunately, he was never too keen on wanting to go to the prom, but I encouraged him to go. And when he got the pants that he was supposed to get for his tux, his pants were not fitting right. They just kept falling down. It was actually a pretty unsightly thing. They had to keep trying to pin it up. He just had a terrible time.
I never understood why guys rented tuxes. It just always seemed very strange to me. Like, why can't they just wear khakis and a button down and like a jacket or I don't know.
Because it's not a private school on a yacht. That's why. Tuxedos is the way you go.
But
I mean, you're wearing cocktail
it?
Dresses and you want them to dress like they're at a golf club, like with their dad?
I don't know.
Come on. That's insulting.
It just seems weird. Like 74 guys before him wore those same tuxedo pants that are falling off.
At least.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the tuxedo shop owner, you got to get lots of usage out of those suckers. Let's get that money going, huh?
Prom drama. What happened to you or your kids? 1-800-330-9999. One of my friends, her daughter is, inconsolable. Her boyfriend broke up with her. They've been dating for 2 years, 2 weeks before prom.
Don't take him back the week after. Don't take him back.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, girl.
Yeah. Hi, it's Hannah and Raven. What's your prom?
My son went to his junior prom with a bunch of friends and their girlfriends. And my son's friend's girlfriend wore a very inappropriate dress for junior prom, we thought. And they got into a huge fight about it at the prom, and she broke up with him at the prom, and he sat at the table the rest of the night, sulking and crying.
Aww.
Oh, that is sad.
There's the people that, you know, went on dates and now they're like, they don't even know each other at prom. And then there's the breakups at the prom. There's always the couple that's been together a long time, but there's a big scene at the prom and they break up.
I mean, I can't really recall.
No, that's a real thing. Yeah, you either hook up at the prom or you break up at the prom.
One or the other.
Yeah. Anna and Raven, what's your prom?
Okay, as unbelievable as it's going to sound, every fact is true. I had a best friend through high school. We vowed we would go to prom together for like 2 or 3 years. About 2 weeks before prom, he called me that this cheerleader he had a crush on had broken up with her boyfriend, and he knew I would understand. Bottom line is, I ended up not going to my prom. He was a cheerleader who got back with her boyfriend, who's now married, and I'm married for 31 years, and this guy became a priest.
What?
that soiled the whole thing forever.
Right.
Both his lanes of traffic were cut off, and he said, that's it. I'm going religious.
He dipped his toe in the wild side, and he didn't like it.
That's right.
He turned right around and ran in the other direction.
Wow. Who was his date? Satan.
The best part was,
wow.
The best part was, I went back to teach at this high school, and I had told some of my female students. And he came to an event there, and they go, you're the one who stood up our teacher.
Oh, my gosh. That's brutal.
It was great. He got what he deserved, a whole lot of nothing.
It's Anna and Raven. What was your teen's prom?
I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but I've been hearing all about this drama with my daughter and her friend. They want the same dress, of course. Out of all the thousands of dresses there are out there, they happen to find the same one. And my daughter saw it first, or so she says, but the friend went out and bought it, so she thinks that she should get the dress. And I'm like, honestly, at this point, everyone wear the same dress. Who cares?
I mean, I don't understand the big thing about having the same dress. I remember in my town, there was one store that was very popular that a lot of the girls went and they got their prom dresses. And they kept a registry there and they would write down the dress style and the prom that you were wearing it to. And the place wouldn't sell you that same dress if you were going to the prom.
I mean, that's incredibly thoughtful. Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether or not it's supply chain nonsense or whatever, but I have been dress shopping out with my wife over the last year or so for different events, weddings or whatever. And there's just not a lot out there that you can actually find in a store. Like, you go to, like, you know, a big store or whatever, and there'll be 8 variances of dresses. I mean, imagine. So if you've got a full school full of kids, pretty difficult to all get unique stuff now. And then you hear the horror stories about, you know, the internet. Like, yeah, I mean, it looks glorious, the stuff you look at on the net. And then it shows up and you're like, it's just not even recognizable. So,
and I feel like if you accessorize it differently, like what's the big deal? I mean, it's like 90210 all over again with Brenda and Kelly when they both showed up in that same dress, you know?
I can't say that I remember, but clearly it was traumatic for you.
For everybody. I mean, it's very traumatic.
It's rough for girls. Guys, we just changed the cummerbund to the vest and we're good.
Like, they want to look the same.
Everyone wears a black tux.
Right.
No one cares.
You hear all these horror stories of people that break up over text after they've been dating for like 7 years and all these terrible ways that people break up. But is there a right way to break up with somebody? Cher Gutman is a New York City wingwoman. You can visit her online at nycwingwoman.com. Cher, what do you think? Is there a right or wrong way to break up with someone?
There's no right way to break up with someone, but there is a wrong way. And the wrong way, I feel like, is doing it. If you've been in a relationship with someone and doing it over text, it could be extremely hurtful. Or just all of a sudden ghosting someone, that can be extremely hurtful as well. I think the most important thing you can do is be open with what you're feeling and really talk to them. If you're in a relationship with someone, obviously you guys have had a strong connection. So now it's time to really talk to that person about your feelings and tell them, you know, I'm not feeling it anymore. The most important thing you can do is just be open, because otherwise you're wasting your time and you're wasting their time as well. And that's not fair for anybody.
You know, it's amazing, because the mature thing is certainly, like you said, discuss it, right? Provide closure. Mm-hmm. Once you have closure, you know, you can move on with things. Even if it hurts for a moment or it's going to hurt for a while, you won't be wondering. You won't be left with the questions.
Exactly.
And these are really the hardest things. When you think about things that didn't work out, you know, it's the why. Mm-hmm. You know, what were the things that I did that I could have done differently? Could I have done differently? Anything. And when you're breaking up with somebody, you know, sometimes we just lose it for the other person.
You know,
sometimes you just don't want to be around them anymore.
Well,
and if you can tell them that and you say, you know what, it's not specifically anything you did. It's just that I'm done with this.
Well, here,
you know,
you just said it in other words. The it's not you, it's me.
Right.
Which I always felt like is a kick in the gut.
It sounds like you're BSing, though, right? But if you're able to expand upon it, if you're able to talk with these people, then it's more believable. Then they can actually understand, you know what, maybe it was them. You know, it doesn't have to be me.
But sure, maybe. Do you think that it's better or worse to tell them the truth? Or do you think that you just sugarcoat it and say, I'm just not ready in this time for this kind of serious commitment? Or do you say to them, like, you are so boring. Like I have nothing to talk to you about. And I just need to move on with my life.
I feel like if you're in a relationship for a while, usually the thoughts of just that they're boring isn't always the case. And there's a nicer way to say it. However, I think being honest is really the most important thing, because it's really providing that closure, you know, like you just discussed. Like, having that closure is so important, because otherwise you really are wondering, well, what if I did this differently? Or was it this? Was it that? And you have trouble then moving on. And if you care about the person at all, you want the best for them as well, just not with you. So the best thing that you can do is really be honest with your feelings, wish them the best, and then move on, both of you, and not keep dragging the person on and kind of like, you know, giving them little crumbs, we call it, kind of like keeping them there and, you know, moving on. Really just try to move on, you know, realize what you want or what you don't want, and then be able to go your separate ways, but be honest with that person so they can go their separate way as well.
Cher, the last time you broke up with somebody, what was the reason?
I didn't see a future with them. I'm married now. I've been married for almost 9 years. But the last time that I, you know, did that, it was because I didn't see a future, and I was kind of looking for that person that I would want to spend a life with, and they just weren't it.
Cher Gutman is a New York City wingwoman. You can find her online at nycwingwoman.com. Thank you, Cher. What's the most expensive thing in your closet? Your most expensive outfit that you wear? These Met Gala outfits, you're looking at these dresses and these gowns and these extravagant outfits, and you think to yourself, how much did that cost? Like, obviously, we know that Kim Kardashian wore Marilyn Monroe's gown, which is a $4.8 million dress, the most expensive dress in the world.
I mean, it's crazy, right?
Yes.
I don't know, who gets paid even to evaluate the value of that thing?
Well,
right?
It's however much you pay for it, and that's how much Ripley's, believe it or not, paid for it.
It's nuts.
Blake Lively, she had on, like, that beautiful dress that changed colors. I don't know how much the dress costs, but she had on, just in jewelry, $2 million in jewelry. Just in jewelry.
That's crazy.
Does it actually change colors, or is it one of those, like, the dress things where it's blue to some people and white to others?
No, it's bustled. So when she comes out,
I don't know what that word is.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'll explain.
She looks shiny.
Yeah,
she's honest.
Yeah, I'll explain a bustle later when we have some time.
Yeah.
But what's the most expensive outfit you have?
Yeah, I'm not much of a clothes horse or anything like that. I've got you know, a few things. I got a couple suits, you know, but they're nice suits. I mean, I've got a pinstripe double-breasted suit that my wife won't let me wear out anywhere because it's not appropriate to wear anybody except a mob movie.
Look how proud of yourself you are right now.
That's so it. I got excited. Suspenders.
Yeah. Hey. Are you
suspenders? Do you do the snap? Vest? Oh,
yeah. Do you do the snap with them?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I never used them.
You should.
Just the guy saw me. He was like a sucker at the formal shop. He was like, yeah, throw the suspenders in there, too. That'll be good.
Producer John, what's the most expensive outfit you have in your closet?
You guys have seen it. It's the suit that I got when I was 24 that is way not my size anymore at all. That's the problem, is that all of the expensive stuff was bought for me by relatives like 10 years ago.
When you
ago.
Were seven.
All the stuff that all the stuff that I buy for myself is ridiculously cheap. So is it expensive? Sure. Does it look good? No, it does not.
It was bought for a mass communion.
Right.
Producer Sean, the most expensive outfit, fancy outfit in your closet, what is it?
That's a tough one. You know me, I like to dress down, dress up, whatever they want to call that, but I've had shirts, like dress shirts, that I spent like $50 on, and then like dress shirts I spent like almost $120 on. So it varies. It really depends on the outfit. It really depends on what I'm putting together.
All right.
I mean, with that fancy mustache, I think that there could be some sort of trick in that closet.
But he has it. He's got the expensive dress shirt at home. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking that tomorrow we should all wear our fanciest outfits to work. Now, here's the problem.
What are you going to wear? Because you got to have some sort of cocktail dress, I'm guessing.
I've been thinking about it all day.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take out my wedding dress.
Come on.
My wedding dress is the most expensive thing I've ever owned in my life. It's preserved. It's been sealed since the day after my wedding.
No,
I've never seen
your
it
mom
before.
Sealed
my
that
mom
thing.
My mom sealed it.
No, you can't open. Did you tell your mother that you were even thinking about that?
No, but I'm going to do it. I've been dying to see what it looks like. I've been married 17 years. The night of my wedding, right? My mom came, took my beautiful Remacro wedding dress, and she took it away, and I never saw it again.
There's no window.
There's no window
on this thing. So, I mean, even if you, I don't even believe that you're going to do this, but let's say you're going to do it.
Yeah.
But you're going to have somebody here, like from the NASA preservation, right after to immediately eclipse the dress again.
Right.
And then enclose it.
And this is a question that might get me in trouble, but you got married when you were 24, right?
There we go.
You think it's not going to fit?
All I asked was if you got married when you were 24.
What a
that
jerk.
Was the only thing I asked.
I mean, what's wrong with this guy?
It's the only thing
Seriously.
I asked. Seriously.
I'm going to think about it.
You've not been paying attention?
I have to go next. I have to punch John in the face. But I'm going to think about it, and there's a good chance that I'm going to unbox my wedding dress and put it on tomorrow.
I can't believe that this is anarchy.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
So something wild happened at the Netflix is a Joke comedy festival in L.A. Dave Chappelle was on stage, and out of nowhere, this guy comes running up on the stage and attacks him. So immediately, security gets up there, grabs the guy, pulls him off, takes him off to the side. The guy gets beat down by 10 people backstage, including one person that is the unlikely hero in the back.
Shout out to Jamie Foxx, by the way. Jamie, whenever you're in trouble, Jamie Foxx will show up in a sheriff's hat.
Jamie Foxx was one of the guys that was beating down the guy that attacked him on stage. Now, this could have been really scary.
I mean, it is scary.
It is scary.
Already scary, right? I mean, the fact that how close did he get to him?
He attacked him.
He got his hands down on Dave Chappelle?
He took him down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and he was armed. He had a knife. It was all the bad
That's
stuff.
Terrible.
But they were able to, you know, break it up, get him. He was taking off in an ambulance because he got mangled.
I mean, listen, man, you're walking in there. These are Dave Chappelle's people. It's
right.
A comedy fest on top of what is wrong with people?
I don't know. I mean, we could have that conversation all day.
Oh, no.
But Jamie Foxx was one of the people leading
Jamie
the fight.
Jamie Foxx is in really good shape.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to get punched in the face by Jamie Foxx.
And Jamie Foxx went on stage with Dave Chappelle, and he said this right after it happened.
Listen, I just want to say, man, I've had an incredible time. This man is an absolute genius. We got to make sure we protect him at all times, man. And we're not going to let nothing happen to you.
You know what's really interesting about the whole thing, Raven?
That Jamie Foxx wants Dave Chappelle to be president?
Besides that, is that there's not a lot of video footage. There's only a couple videos and a little
friends.
Bit of audio. No. Because they confiscated all the phones at entry. So a lot of the concerts and the comedy festivals, you can't take your phones in anymore. They take them and they put them in these pouches that seal so you don't film anything.
Sure.
So the little bit of video that we have of the situation, which I've watched all of it, is just a couple people that snuck their phones in.
Yeah, yeah. Who would you want backstage backing you up? Jamie Foxx is unavailable.
Oh,
let me take
okay.
that right off the table okay, right okay. now because mm-hmm. I saw your eyes swimming thinking of him.
I was thinking about it. I was like, if there was going to be somebody off stage in case somebody attacked me, like who was going to come in and pound them down and make sure everything is all right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's two logical answers.
Okay.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay.
You know The Rock, like he knows what The Rock is cooking.
He's quick.
Right. He's going to get in there.
He's flexible. He's well exfoliated
Very
on his
strong.
Face. All those things are going to get
Shiny.
In there.
Shiny. He's
right.
going to get in there. He's just going to take
he'll
him down.
He'll handle it, right? If he can't talk him down, he'll take him down.
100%.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, I love J-Lo, and I always say J-Lo. But
sure.
don't, like, think for a second. I bet you anything J-Lo can fight. I bet you that if J-Lo had to protect herself as she was, like, trying to help me out, like, she could hurt somebody.
You know, they're both fit, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like The Rock, part of that is part of his training there as, like, stunts and stuff like that. J-Lo, I'm not so sure. I think you got to go. You can't underestimate rage, all right? Which
yeah.
is why... This is a great career path right now, opportunity for Will Smith.
Okay.
If he can just contain himself
yes.
to the side area,
mm-hmm.
but you just kind of like, I mean, he just unleashes his rage when it's time.
And it's appropriate.
I mean, well, you know, he'd be quick to jump right now. He definitely doesn't want to go home.
Well, he definitely knows how to storm a stage. Yeah. That we know for sure.
Yes. 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 He yeah. knows what to look for then, mm-hmm. right?
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Colin and Jackie. Colin, let's start with you. What's going on?
Yeah, oh, the problem is my wife lies about having restaurant reservations when we go to restaurants, and I feel weird about it.
Oh.
What do you mean lies? Like she just says
like
you have
we
it?
We
no?
get in there. We don't have a reservation, but she just says that we do and insists that we do, and, you know, before too long, they just declare that it's their mistake, and they say, oh, we're so sorry, and they give us a table, and I don't know if we're jacking up their whole flow for the night or making other people who actually made reservations have to wait, but it's a lie. It feels weird. I don't like it.
Jackie, that's so shady.
Whatever. It's not a big deal. I mean, you know, we always get a table. Maybe we have to wait a few minutes, and look, the customer's always right. It's their job, and it's fine.
Jackie, what started this behavior? I need to know. So you just decided from moment one the reservations with restaurants were a dumb idea and you just done this in your entire life? Or is there a catalyst for this or a reasoning behind it?
No, Colin doesn't like to commit. I mean, you know, in the past, I would make reservations at like 5 different places in the hopes that, you know, we could pick something nice and he would never decide. So I said, you know what? I will make no reservations.
Hmm. You know what? I mean, I'm going to admit it, and some people are going to dislike it, but I don't make reservations ever for mani-pedis, get my nails done, anything
no,
like that.
No, that's different.
No, it's different. You know why it's different? Because they don't respect the appointment that you make anyways.
Well, that's,
they'll take anybody right. coming in there. But because it's common knowledge, you don't need an appointment from now on. I always say I have one.
Oh, you say you have an appointment?
Every time I say
Raven.
We have one. And they look at me and they're like, do you know who you made it with? And I'm like, somebody
Raven.
On the phone. Definitely had one. And you know what? They bring me right in. They do it all the time.
Probably because it's like, how often does a giant hairy man come in
when I get,
and demand a pedicure that he has an appointment for?
If I at my nail places on the weekends, you know what people do? It doesn't open specifically till 9 o'clock. 8:45, they know the door's open, so people just walk in.
Okay, there's a lot of things going on here. One, Raven, please get out of here with your manicure pedicure. Two, Jackie, I mean, I don't know what's worse, to be honest, making reservations at 4 or 5 places and then you don't show up to them, you only go to where you go, or not making right. anything and lying and putting the hostess on the spot. Like, I've been that hostess. That is a terrible situation to be in because you don't know
her.
What to do.
Oh, you're shaming her.
Well, she should get shamed. It's a problem.
I don't know. I don't think everybody's going to agree with you necessarily.
Well,
I guess I'm only upsetting one hostess instead of 5. How's that?
Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Jackie, that it's no big deal. You go in, there's a quote-unquote mix-up, they figure it out, and you get a table. They should be thankful that the business is coming your way. Or they may see Colin's side, too, that it's just rude. Like, either make the reservation or don't, or just go and be honest and see if they have something available and wait if you have to wait.
I'm just saying it's the best of bad choices. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
bothers me even to talk about it. It really does.
I mean, Jackie, that's why I'm having so much fun with it.
Yeah, I know, because, you know, it makes me crazy. Jackie makes multiple reservations at restaurants and then only shows up to one, doesn't cancel the other ones, blames it on her husband that he can't make his mind where to go, so that's what they have to do. He didn't like that she was doing that, so her new thing is she just lies. She walks in and insists that she has a reservation, and she doesn't think it's a big deal. And Colin says, yeah, it's a big deal. And she's like, they figure out a way to squeeze us in. It works all the time. What do you think about this?
I think that when you're in business, there's unexpected things that come up every single day. It doesn't matter what business you're into. The food business is no different than any other, right? So, you know, customers show up, people have last minute orders, and of course there are clients that lie as well. You know, it should be stated that Colin just won't let her decide on where it is that they're going to eat or when he wants to eat either. It's like a little game that he plays. I mean, why doesn't he grow up and do the right thing, which just says, yes, 6 o'clock, we can go eat at this place.
Agreed. But she has the gall to go in and say to a hostess, I have a reservation. Oh, it's not there. Well, I talked to somebody. Oh, gosh, I can't stand those people. But maybe you don't think it's a big deal. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on his side because I've been on, I've had a situation like that happen to me where the couple ahead of us, like, got in before us. And I'm like, wait a minute, we had reservations. And they're chuckling. And the husband, you could tell, was embarrassed. And I'm like, what is going on right now? We just missed our table. We had to wait 20 minutes before our table was ready.
You're lucky it was only 20 minutes. Sometimes if you grab that last table in a restaurant and they don't have another table, you're easily waiting 45 minutes to an hour for the next one. Easily.
I'm out.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. Kind of infuriates me, but here we go. Colin and Jackie have a disagreement because... Well, Colin can never make his mind up on what dinner he wants to go out to on the weekend. So Jackie was doing this thing where she would make reservations at four places. Then they would just pick one of the reservations and go. Colin said that was wrong,
yeah.
Which it is. She has a new idea. And what she's been doing is she goes to restaurants and she lies and says she has a reservation to the hostess, even though she doesn't. And Colin also has a problem with that, as he should.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it all is an uncomfortable situation. There's that awkward moment, right? But the truth is that you got to eat. So unless you want to be out there on the sidewalk waiting for forever, you're going to do whatever you can to try and wiggle your way in. Is it any different than dropping a name, saying you know somebody, or you know, trying to work your way in through the bar, or you're being on standby? I mean, I don't think it's all that different.
I do. I think it's very different.
I don't think you should call six places and make reservations either, though.
All right. Raven thinks it's okay to lie to hostesses. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court. Whose side are you on?
I don't believe it's the right thing to do, and I don't believe that making five reservations in a single night is correct or coming in and lying. So that whole thing is just terrible.
I agree.
You know what? Who needs five choices every night anyways, right? What are we? Royalty? Who are we? Right? I mean, that seems excessive to me.
And you know what? Tell the guy to man up and make a decision where he wants to go out to eat, what time, and then let her pick the place.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Oh, the husband. That wife sounds like an entitled twit. I'm sorry.
I have to be honest. I agree.
But how do you feel about me lying about nail appointments?
That's also wrong.
Not right. Oh, my God. Like, you're the only one that matters?
Right.
No. These other people bump my appointments.
No.
They don't respect the appointment book.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi. I'm definitely on the husband's side. She sounds so selfish and entitled, and the fact that she doesn't care about anybody else's time is really a disgusting trait to have in a personality. So he should really look at that.
Somebody that works, you know, grew up in the restaurant business my whole entire life. That's what my parents do. When you have like a small restaurant like my parents have, when you have like 7-10 tables, you have somebody not show up for a reservation. That is a problem. That kills a Friday or a Saturday night when, you know, like it's rude.
Absolutely.
And it's
not fair.
But because that happens from time to time, that's why you squeeze in the person who's a big fat liar.
Ugh.
Because you got the chicken dish.
Yeah,
the chicken is staring you in the face.
Usable.
The chicken is staring you in the face. This chicken's either going to get sold or it's just going to sit here and weep.
How many people do you want to tell you that you're wrong, Raven? How many?
I just want the chicken. I want it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Colin, our audience agreed with you. It's messed up, Jackie. Stop it. That's what it comes down to.
Nice. Thank you, audience. Yeah, it's just, you know, these are
these are people. It's not like a vending machine. These are people you're making their night harder every time.
Well, you remember that, Colin, when you guys are sitting 45 minutes in a lobby because you couldn't decide where you wanted to go with a reasonable dinner time.
Exactly. Well,
Jackie, the steam will just be coming out of your ears.
Well, just tell them to make a reservation and just commit already. Jeez.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $6,600 thanks to Discover Card. With prices soaring at the pump, Discover has your back with cash back. Use Discover to earn 5% cash back at the gas station and Target now through June on up to $1,500 in purchases when you activate. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/rewards. All right, we've got Marlene and Ava. You guys ready to play?
Yes.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, you two.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Ready.
Number one, LeVar Burton will receive the first Lifetime Achievement Award at the new Children and Family Emmys. For 23 years, he hosted what educational children's show?
Reading Rainbow.
Number two, a new Yo! MTV Raps is coming to Paramount Plus. Fab Five Freddy was the original host, but he was replaced with what duo?
Dr. Dre and Ed Lover.
Number three, Dave Chappelle was attacked while on stage performing at the Hollywood Bowl, where he, along with tons of other comedians, are performing at what comedy festival?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I don't know.
That's okay. Number four, the remake of Stephen King's Firestarter is scheduled to be released next week. The childhood actress and star of the new film is Ryan Kira Armstrong. In the original 1984's Firestarter, who played the role of the childhood actress?
Drew Barrymore.
Okay. And number five, Smile Happy, Tia the Bomb, Zandon, and Cyberknife are names of what?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea.
Okay. That's all right. Let me bring Raven back in.
Okay.
All right. Come on, Raven. All right. Marlene and Ava got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. $6,600. Let's see how we do.
Number one, LeVar Burton will receive the first Lifetime Achievement Award at the new Children and Family Emmys. For 23 years, he hosted what educational children's show?
Reading Rainbow.
Yes. Number two, a new Yo! MTV Raps is coming to Paramount Plus.
I know. I'm so excited.
Fab Five Freddy was the original host, but was replaced with what duo?
Dre and Ed Lover. Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. Are they going to come back?
No,
are
they're not. Back? They're not coming back.
Are they both still alive?
Yes, Raven.
Well, I thought maybe, you know, Ed was right. Out of shape, is all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Is Ed Lover dead? No. No, we would
know. I don't know. We'll look it up later.
We'll find. We'll figure it out later.
Let's hope for the best. I love you, Ed.
Come on. We have to come on. We're running out of time. Number three, Dave Chappelle was attacked while on stage performing at the Hollywood Bowl, where he, along with tons of other comedians, are performing at what comedy festival?
Netflix is a joke.
Yes. You guys are tied.
Oh, my God. I knew that.
I know you did. Number four, the remake of Stephen King's Firestarter is scheduled to be released next week. The childhood actress and star of the new film is Ryan Kira Armstrong. In the original 1984 Firestarter, who played the role of the childhood actress?
Drew Barrymore. She is chilling in that. Well, she's hot, but you know what I mean. It's fire, so you get it.
Number five, Smile Happy, Tia the Bomb, Zandon, and Cyberknife are names of what?
Isn't Cyberknife a medical procedure?
No, there are horses racing in the Kentucky Derby this week.
Well, also a cool name.
Yeah. I'm sorry. He's going to beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt, Marlene.
This is Marlena and Ava, and we can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, guys. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Thanks. Enjoy that shirt. They'll be sharing it tomorrow, $6,700.
And thank you to Melissa. She submitted the Firestarter question that I used today. If you have an idea for a question, too, you can submit it at annaonraven.com.
Lowe sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy.
Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.